I'll tell you, what a great time in worship this morning. Just really enjoyed that. Last time I was up to speak, I wanted to try and leave people with something that was memorable. So when you walked out, you just wouldn't forget. We had this triangle that we had that we brought up at the end of the service. And, you know, it kind of reminded us of Iron Man's triangle on his suit, right? And it would be kind of cool if we get Iron Man to come here sometime. Wouldn't that be awesome? We could really look forward to that. But that's something that we hope to do maybe in the future. And all right. Can I do that? I see, I had a high five Iron Man. This is awesome. Iron Man, are you happy to be here with us today? All right, you're full of the Spirit. All right, very good. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. Well, we're sure thankful that you came here. But you know, before I speak, can we be humble before the Lord and pray? Let's do that, okay? Okay. If I get down there, we're good. All right, here we go. All right. Hey, let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the great fun that we have. Thank you for your provision of this. And whatever goes on here, it's part of our joy. But Lord, we give you credit for what you're going to say to us this morning. And we honor, we glorify, and we praise you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Iron Man. Hey, Iron Man, would you be able to come back sometime if we need you? All right. Very cool. I don't know if I can get over that or not. That's a big deal. How many of you guys loved Marvel Comics when you were kids? Right? We just love these things. And for those who don't know the backstory on this, the backstory is this. The characters that becomes Iron Man, his name is Tony Stark in the movie. And it's really a telling thing because at one point in one of the movies, it says Tony Stark, the man with everything and nothing. What a telltale statement. And I just want to ask you this morning, are you that guy? Are you that lady? You got everything and nothing, right? So I want to take a look at that. But, you know, Tony Stark in the series, in the movie, what happens to him is his company is huge. They sell internationally. He's off across in Afghanistan, and they're attacked by a military force. And he gets wounded, and he's captured, and he spends 3 months entombed in this cave. And when he comes out of that cave, he's transformed. He's had time to look at things, and he's a transformed man in how he thinks and how he's going to act going forward. And he now also possesses the power to escape his enemies. Folks, that's us. Right? We identify with this movie, don't we? We identify with that whole scenario. Why? Because we all know we need to be saved. We need someone to reach down and save us. Right? We need someone to rescue us from our current circumstance. Hey, the Lord speaks to us constantly throughout our lives, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. He's just relentlessly in love with us, and he's constantly pursuing us. So like Tony Stark, the actions of our ways, the thoughts and intents of our heart will someday catch up with us, and we're going to need a Savior to rescue us from our impending death. The next thing is this. We would like to have and understand what it takes to overcome the circumstances in life. Do you have the opportunity and the ability to power up in your life? And the last thing is, are you living a life of significance, right? Those are things we all identify with, and that's exactly the transformation he was going through. So we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 to start off there, but we'll actually kind of cover the whole chapter, but I want to just point out a few things as we go along the way here that I think are just critical to our understanding exactly what the Lord's saying to us through Paul this morning. So at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature of the flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so you cannot do what you want." Right? Isn't that amazing? You ever feel like that? I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. That's kind of the conundrum we're in, isn't it? Can everybody see that okay? But we want to talk this morning about walking in the Spirit. And I know there's lots of different people that will come at you in different ways. And we talked about this a little bit. Ron did a fantastic job the last couple weeks just talking to us about what that looks like. How does this walking in the Spirit look? And in the context of this passage, Paul's writing here to the church, the people that have been born again. They've asked Jesus to be their Savior, and now he's trying to instruct them in how they should live their lives. All right? And he doesn't want them to fall into the old ways, fall into the ways that they've walked away from. He wants them to understand how they personally have the power, because of what God's done for them in their lives, to walk away from their past life and to act in a completely different manner. Just like Tony Stark. He was this type of man when he went into the cave, and when he was resurrected, he came out, he was this gentleman over here. Does that make sense? All right. So we want to walk by the Spirit. Now, as we walk, there are several different things that, well, it's actually just really basic. It's two different things, but there's several different components to each part. All right? And the first thing is there's a lifestyle that we've come out of. And if you look at this passage, it's really something else, as he just lists all the different things. And he says basically this: you are a person that either walks in the flesh or a person that walks in the Spirit. So if you walk in the flesh, that's not just your body, okay, that's evidence of your flesh, but it's your whole person, right? It's your mind, it's your soul, it's your spirit, it's your will, it's your heart. You can call it all kinds of things. But it's, you're either walking that person or you're walking in the Spirit of God. And there's two drastic, amazing, there's a big contrast there between those two things. So if you look at some of the things as you follow through the passage, it goes through and it talks about this. And I apologize, I've got this in my NIV version. I've got some notes in the ESV so we can kind of mix them up here. But it says in verse 19, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." So this is low-hanging fruit. This is not something that we're going to have to delve into and try and discover. This is the thing. These are the evidences of our sinful nature that we see around us and in us every day. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like." So it's not even a complete list. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." If that's characteristic of your lifestyle, if that's how you live, then you're not going to heaven. That's not mine. That's not me saying it. That's God's word saying it. But I just want to take a look at some of these things. So the problem with sexual sin is this, or the sensual sins, and it basically breaks them up into three categories. One is you are constantly self-deprecating if you involve yourself in those acts of sin. You're trading in your value for something less, right? And it can be all kinds of stuff, right? If we know if someone has an affair and they're married, that's called adultery. If they're not married and they're having affairs with people, they shouldn't be having sex with anybody before they're married, that's called fornication, right? But there's other things. There's this desire without shame to just simply pursue what I want. Do we see that around us in our society today? Very obviously so, right? And it continues to just proliferate, right? It's growing, and it's becoming more and more obvious. It's not something new, right? 2,000 years ago, same things were going on. There's really nothing new under the sun, is there? But I'll tell you what, these are the signs of some of the lifestyles. But there's also other sins that these guys were involved in. It wasn't just the sensual, you know, erotic thing. It was also sins that were superstitious. So they had sins of witchcraft and idolatry. Now, that word witchcraft actually comes up from a root word pharma, right? Which is pharmacy or drugs. So there's drug use, there's idol worship, and these things are just really rampant in what's going on. But he's, now think about it, he's talking to the Christians who are trying to walk away from that kind of lifestyle. I hope if you're sitting here today, and you, no matter what your experience has been in the past, I hope you don't feel that you're so lost, God can't find you. Every kind of evil, sinful, wicked thing that anybody could think of, imagine, or do, he knows about it. And if you've done it, he knows about that too. And you know what? Right now this morning, as I speak to you, I'm simply doing this, telling you the truth. He's pursuing you right now. He wants you right now. Turn from it right now. Stop it. And you can. And he's going to give you the ability to do it. All right? But these crazy sins, they just don't stop. But then there's these other sins. This next category he talks about are social sins. And these things really hamper people. And it's a lot of it's what they say. Right? Hatred. Things that are just divisive. Right? Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Now, again, who's he talking to? People in the church. Right? Things that can tear people and relationships apart and down. These things shouldn't be happening in the church, all right? Dissensions, factions, envying. That's envy. They're carrying grudges. We don't want to be people that carry grudges. Why? There's nothing good in that. That's death speech. Right? Now, when you're up front, this is kind of the hot spot, isn't it? Because you got to be really living what you're talking, or else it's just going to be like a sounding cymbal, right? You know what? There's people in this church that I've let down, that I've hurt. I don't even know it, right? I don't try to, but I'm just not a perfect guy, and it's going to happen, okay? But if there's somebody like that, and there's some issue between us, and maybe I don't even know about it, come and let me know. All right? My wife lets me know. She's really good about letting me know. Right? Okay? But I want you to feel that same way. For those who are older than me, think of yourself as my parents. Come and talk to me. For those who are younger than me, think of me as your big brother that won't beat you up. You can come and talk to me too. All right? But for those who are my age, right? But we just really need to be able to get past ourselves and beyond ourselves and live in a plane that the world isn't used to. All right? The last thing there is just drunkenness. I mean, we understand that. We see it. Most of us in our lives know someone or have had it touch our families. Brad has, right? I have. His dad, my grandpa, right? You know, we've seen this happen, all right? And it's just one of those things where you're literally out of control, and it's very obvious. But some of these things aren't necessarily as obvious, but you're still out of control. Right? You're still spinning out of control, and you need someone to dial you back in. These things are evidence of someone, if they live this lifestyle, even though they've heard the message of Jesus, haven't been transformed by it yet. And the Bible tells us you're dead in that sin, and you're not going to heaven. Okay? Now, there's another side to that. So you want to power up, right? So the other side to it is this. There are things that are done in the Spirit. And what does it look like when things are done in the Spirit? Okay? The Spirit brings what? Freedom. Right? Now, in that movie, when you think about what happened there, when he got out, when he was able to escape from his captors, what was the first thing he did after he went and got an American cheeseburger when he got back to the United States? He went and held a press conference, and he told everybody that he knew, everybody that was in earshot, everybody that would show up, and he said, you know what? I'm different. I'm a changed man. I've seen things that I've never seen before in my life, and I am going a different direction. And not only that, all the people I have influence over, they're coming with me. Isn't that cool? Right? You want significance in your life? Just keep bringing people to the feet of the cross, the foot of the cross. That's like playing in the Super Bowl every single day, or the World Series, or the Olympics, or whatever. Everybody have a good time with the Olympics? I was inspired. I got to working out again, so I can eat my way through the fair this week. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. But right, we are constantly with the opportunity to affect people, not just for today, not just to give them food for tomorrow. And I don't want to downplay this, but I want people to think about this. And my mom was really good about this, and she kind of brought this up years ago. But she loves the Lord, and you know, she had a friend, you know, from a church they go to back home, and they said, you know, we just really felt like we should bring Thanksgiving dinner over to this family because we know they don't have much. They just moved and they had some other problems, and so she says we took Thanksgiving dinner over. Mom said, that's really great. Would you take them the next day? See, the world feels good about itself because it goes and does something nice and serves other people, and you get some kudos for that, right? You help someone out, you help change a flat, right, on someone's car, you take them out for lunch. It feels good, and it's a nice thing to do, right? But do that when it's not about you. That's the godly thing to do. And that's what we're going to talk about here in this next list, all right, the opposing list. So we had three things over there, three categories, and we're going to kind of break it up into three categories here too. We are people that are free. We have grace and liberty. We have liberty from the sinful past and the mind that we used to have, and we have grace to sanctification. And what does sanctification mean? It means the pulling out. So God has just taken you and separated you and pulled you out and set you apart from the group that you used to be in. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's it. He set you apart. But there's instructions now. How are we going to move ahead with that? Okay, what does sanctification look like? Love. God's divine agape love. Right? It's not brotherly love. It's not, you can't contain it. Right? To some of the things we express as love, which are legitimate. Brotherly love. Brad and I have a great relationship. We have great brotherly love one to another. Right? And we enjoy one another's company. We bless one another and do things for one another. That's really cool. That's really nice. But that's a human expression of God's love, and it's legitimate. Right? But God's love here, this agape love, it's the love of life. God gives you life when he loves you. He didn't make a bad person good, right? When he saved you, he made a dead person alive. And this is God's agape love, the love of life. So, other is joy versus happy, right? Anybody here, well, God just wants me to be happy, doesn't he? No, he wants you to be holy, and he wants you to have joy, right? Joy is you living in this experience, in this relationship with him. Happiness is an experience that I have periodically. When I go and eat whatever it is on a stick or cheese curds at the fair, I will be happy. Okay? But when I go with my wife, I'm filled with joy. So that's what this is. Joy and happiness all bundled up into one. This is not a bee sting, and it's not overeating. All right? But you see what I'm saying, though? We can enjoy and have both, but the world thrives on happiness. Why is that? Because they don't have the joy. They don't have the love. They are constantly seeking the new, bigger, better experience because that's what sustains them for this short vapor of a life that we live. Okay, the next thing is this. Forbearance, or peace, and then forbearance. What is forbearance? Here's one for you. Courageous endurance. Courageous endurance, okay? One of the things that warms my heart is when I see Ron Powell get up here and preach an unbelievably powerful, spirit-filled message at the young age of 78. Okay? 78 years young. That's phenomenal. That is a great testimony to everybody that knows him. And it's simply because when he speaks, he's not just divvying out information. This speech that he gives, this presentation that he gives, this message that he brings is just an extension of his life, and he's just sharing it with us. This is the mode of his existence, right? Kindness, goodness, God's love in action, right? I know for a lot of people, you know, you start talking about the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, some people are like, ooh, yeah, all right. Let's get all emotional. Let's get fired up. Let's do the Holy Ghost hop in church. This will be really great. You know, and we do. I mean, it is an emotional thing because it's all-encompassing, isn't it? Right? This morning, you're singing. How many raise your hands? One, two, yeah, good. All right, and hey, everybody does it differently, right? Right? Some people, you know, they raise their hands. There's the, you know, I got a TV, I'm carrying my TV, right? Some people go, hey, I got a big screen, right? Or there's, hey, I caught a fish, right? You know, a lot of grace in there, right? I mean, this is some stuff from Tim Hawkins, if you want to look it up. But my favorite is touchdown. Touchdown's good. Football season's coming. Right, but everybody, you know, we express ourselves differently. Some people, they're going to sit in a church service, and they're never going to raise their hands, and they're going to be completely full of the Spirit. They're going to be completely in tune with God. That's just them. But others of us, we'll raise our hands periodically. Okay? Why? It's decent. It's in order. It honors God. We're just directing our attention to Him. We can't hold it in anymore. Somehow it's got to come out. I was thinking of this morning as I'm singing, and Josh and the worship team, thanks so much for leading us in these. I can't sing hard enough, right? We're just singing with our whole soul, and it comes out. And some of us, it's just a joyful noise. Other thing, it's a sweet melody. But it's just, you know, you've got this ability to just really throw yourself into it. Why? Because it's what powers you up. You're just simply giving God back what He's already given to you. You're powered up, and you're just going ahead and praising Him in song. Okay, the other thing is this. Being faithful or dependable. Gentle, right? Jesus was gentle, right? He had great power, but He was meek. He was completely under control, right? And that's something, you know, for young guys, we're like bulls in a china shop when we're young, but we grow into hopefully becoming more meek as we get older. And the next part is self-control. What is the world telling us? Don't judge me. Don't put boundaries on me. I can do anything I want. Does that sound like the instructions we're getting out of here? No. We do what we do within the Holy Spirit, who's not going to do something that's unseemly or inappropriate. Okay? So we want to make sure that we walk in the power. All right. When we say we walk in the Spirit, it's really this. We have, of our own free will, after we accepted Christ, and that's why when we pray and ask Jesus to be our Savior, it's not just to save us, right? It's to be the Lord of our life, because we understand exactly what He's talking about. It's not just, hey, Jesus, listen, I get this. If I don't accept you as Savior, I'm going to hell. That's my future destination, okay? And I don't want to do that. And so we pray and ask Him to be our Savior. But the other thing is we ask Him to be also the Lord of our life, because we're turning our will and our emotions and our physical body over to Him. And we're going to be different than we were, okay? So that's what we're looking at, all right? We're looking at those two things. So we want to make sure that as we walk in the Spirit, we walk with Him, okay? We're in step with Him. But as you look further down, it says the fruit of growth and legacy, the ability to reproduce. And this is really kind of the big thing is between a person who is going to heaven and a person who's not, a person who's living in their old ways and in the rule and dictate of the world and of Satan and their own personal will, okay? As opposed to someone who's turned it all over and is living by the Holy Spirit through their salvation in Jesus Christ, right, by the gift of life from the Holy Father, from the Heavenly Father. So it's this. Men do works. All right? And I'll tell you what. We create machines, and machines can kick out product, but they don't create life. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, God gives you life. Right? And so we don't do works. We bear fruit. It's a completely different thing. And the great thing about it is when a fruit, whatever type it is, grows, within it is the seed of life, right? It's legacy. It's ongoing generation, right? It doesn't just stop. Folks, God loves life. Life is movement. If you're not moving, you're dead. And if you're not moving, you're falling behind. Time is passing us by. It is not standing still for anybody. And Lord's and that He desires for this earth is coming soon. So, we want to walk by the Spirit. Do you want to be known as that man like Tony Stark, who has everything and nothing, right? Or do you want to be the one who's decided, I'm going to have nothing and grab everything. You want death or do you want life? It's a really simple thing. Okay? Now, as we act and work here at Oak Grove Church, within these walls and outside of that, in the homes and neighborhoods that we live in, right, we need to continue to practice the disciplines that has been laid out here in this passage of Scripture, and it's a growth thing. All right? So if you're someone who said, hey, listen, I get this. God's speaking to me today, and I get it. You know what? You may have some things in your life that you're going to have to work at getting out. All right? I had a buddy, really good guy. His big thing was some language that he had. He just had a hard time getting rid of some of the language in his life, all right? We got other people, you know, that, we've got great things coming up this fall. You know, we've got Todd Dunbar is putting on a Wednesday night program for us here, Celebrate Recovery. People who are being delivered from their sin, right, their shortcomings, their evil deeds. And it takes time, and it takes practice, and it takes support, and that's why we're here. That is why we're here. Okay, this is not something you do as an island. The last thing is this. When Tony Stark got home, the change was so radical inside him, he couldn't shut up. So as one who is sanctified and pulled apart from your old life, from the existence of this world, I want to let you know something this morning. God has given you life and therefore the power in and through him to walk away from anything and everything that has trapped you, captivated you, and snared you. You can walk away from all of it. You just have to power up. Get your nose in God's word, talk to him constantly, and let it run. Just go. Everything, I know it's hard because it's different, but everything that your heart desires, right, is there. That's where you got to meet him. Okay, that's where you got to meet him. So, hey, let's pray and we'll get on to the next hour. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the time just to sit, open your word, take a great look at it real quickly. Thank you for everybody that's here. We pray for those who are off doing other things today. Lord, you'd bring them back to us. Father, you are so good to us, and just help us understand. Father, we're free from sin, right? We've been forgiven, and we can walk in the power of this new life that's from you. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to step out, step up, change, please let them come forward. Let them come forward and talk to myself or any of the other people in the church. Be willing to spend a few minutes with them and just love on them. Not our own personal love. There'll be some of that too. But Father, your love, so they'll come directly to you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.